Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Is there some big brand... Ladies and gentlemen, it's an interview with Jeff Hoover. Who the hell's that?
This is WGN Television 9.
Channel 9.
Channel 9, Chicago.
Chicago.
Coming to you from atop the John Hancock Building.
From WGN TV in Chicago, welcome to the world's greatest newspaper television podcast. I'm Brian Say.
And I'm Ross Mackby. If you're a first-time listener, you can catch all the episodes of this amazing podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. So subscribe, download, listen, and repeat.
That's right. On today's episode, he wears many hats. He's a writer, a producer, and a performer. And he books a lot of your favorite guests on the WGN Morning News. And hey, guess what? He can dance. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Hoover!
All right, settle down. Come on, I don't do all those things.
Hey, first question. Can you tell us a joke? You always have the best jokes.
Oh, I just posted one. It's not a good joke. It's probably a Brad the Robot type joke.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you like Brad the Robot, you might like this little ditty.
Let's hear it.
All right, if my Facebook would open up, because I don't recall it off the top of my head.
Come on!
Because all the ones I recall are really bad.
Oh.
But this one was actually a little clever, and I'm a little disappointed at the moment, because you called me out to tell a joke, and it's just not coming out of my mouth.
No.
So, okay. Now on my Facebook, which I posted this, I only got 10 likes on it, and it's still not loading, but I think it's about a doctor going, no, geez, can we start over? So stupid. I can't remember this joke.
That's fine. We'll come back around to it.
No. I don't want to. I really want to start over because I don't, or I would like that edited out because I have jokes.
If you could speak into the microphone.
Okay. I'll tell you a joke.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long joke, though.
It's fine. Let's go.
Okay. Do you ever hear the joke about the largemouth frog?
No.
Largemouth frog is on a farm. And largemouth frog is hopping around, and he comes across the cow. And he says, "Hey, I'm a widemouth frog. What do you do?" And he says, "Well, I'm a cow." Oh, wait a minute. This joke's not, going to work because it's physical. I just realized it's a physical. I'm telling, I might as well be doing rope tricks on this podcast.
Dean Richards told us not to have... aerial gymnasts on radio.
Yeah, that's bad for radio.
Yeah, and so it sounds like you're making the same mistake.
I'm a total mistake, as my parents will.
Let's move on, shall we?
Let's move on.
It's okay. I
crapped the bed early on this one.
No, you didn't.
This is snip, snip. Give me a vasectomy. That the fact that I can't pull a joke. The only joke I have in my head is one my wife loves, but it's stupid as hell.
Let's hear it.
What's Mary short for? She's got little legs.
Why didn't you lead with that?
Nailed it.
At least
what
you
did
got
the tractor
a joke.
Say when his tractor went over the hill? There goes my tractor. I mean, these are the jokes. Why is there always
tractor?
Extra. Well, never mind. I'm not going to keep going on with this riff.
Okay.
But my
we
wife,
have real questions.
No, that was great. Honey, I love you, and those jokes suck.
Okay.
All right.
Let's start at the beginning. You grew up in Michigan.
Oh, yes, I did.
And you went to business school.
Oh, yes.
At Western Michigan University. Knowing you and what you do now, that doesn't seem like it fits. What's the story there?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but I'll make it short. I was voted most likely to succeed and most dramatic in high school, at St. Joe High School. And I didn't have a lot of dreams or aspirations at the time. you know, and but I had to go to college. I mean, I got a full ride, so I looked at schools, and there was Western Michigan University. I was kind of I'm kind of a homebody. I love my hometown. I love my family that's still there. So there was a college 45 minutes away, Western Michigan University, and I was told they're known for their business school. Okay. So I enrolled in that marketing degree, advertising. I'd seen that movie Nothing in Common with Tom Hanks. And I thought, wow, that's fun. They work in an ad agency and you throw pencils up at the ceiling all day. I could do that. That's for me. The day after I graduated, I had a line on a job with an alumni who had an advertising agency in Buffalo, New York. Took my dad's truck, drove to Buffalo, New York. I thought it was going to be a sure thing. He opened up my portfolio. Yeah. And he's like, oh, this is all right. Mm-mm. Yeah, I've seen that before. And he closed it halfway through the thing, and he said, why don't you go back home and come up with some more advertising campaigns for products that maybe exist or don't exist. And when you're ready, you could come back to Buffalo. So what the hell am I going to do now? I'm living in my parents' basement. I got hired by a local radio station as a salesperson. Mm. I'm the most honest person. So I would actually tell people not to buy advertising. Like, it's not going to help your hypnosis center. What is your budget? $100? Well, I'm not going to take your $100 from you, which I could easily do by running one ad on a Sunday at 2 in the morning. Right. I don't want to crush you. Right. I don't want to crush your business. So, but what did happen there was other sales guys who did make money and did have good accounts, they'd lean on me and go, hey, you're pretty funny with the voices, and can you help me come up with a campaign for this auto parts store or this restaurant? And that's how I got my jollies. I start coming up with ideas, right, and writing, yeah, helping them write scripts and doing voices. And then from there, I'm still living in my parents' basement. Here I am most likely to succeed, right?
Right.
Living in my parents' basement. So one day my mom got, I skipped my whole college thing, but this I think is kind of interesting to hear. One day when I'm living in my parents' basement, my mom basically, we got into it, a verbal fight, and she kind of said, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I'm making a sandwich. She goes, no, what are you doing here?
Right.
I'm like, what? And I got all like, what? You want me to leave? You want me to leave? I can leave. I can totally leave. And they're like, my mom's like, no, there's nothing here for you. There's nothing here for you. And it wasn't until that moment that I realized I am just spinning my wheels.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm working, make it even worse, living in my parents' basement and working at a video store.
Mm.
So I'd be to like calling my mom and dad going, hey, Harlem Nights came out on VHS. You want me to bring it home? I mean, that was like, it was such a horrible life. So I realized I got to do something. I got to challenge myself. So I picked up a phone, a college buddy, lived at Halstead and Armitage, and with another guy from college, I had no idea. And he says, hey, we have a third bedroom here. Second City is like a mile from here. Why don't you come here? So I saved a couple bucks, moved in here, and 1991, I moved here. I got a temp job. I had to take two buses to get out to Skokie and do telemarketing for this catalog company where you're basically hard selling these people to spend $3,000 to join this exclusive club where you could buy, you know, house goods for, you know, the retail, with the, you know, manufacturer's right, price and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way you made money. They had to sign up that night. They did not know this when they showed up. And plus, you're doing a lot of, hi, I'm a public, hi, I'm, I mean, it was a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But I hung it out. I joined Second City.
Yeah, let's fast forward though. You got your start in broadcasting here in Chicago on the radio.
Johnny B.
Right.
Jonathan Brandmeier.
So you're producer on Jonathan Brandmeier's show.
And that all happened on a fluke.
And our very own Robin Baumgarten was there as well, right?
We were ships that passed in the night,
oh,
so
right?
to speak, okay, because she was still working on the show, but I was just on the show kind of as a listener at the time.
Okay.
Because I would call in and do Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, so talk to us about that, how that all started.
Well, it started when there was a contest. Jerry Lewis was playing the Drury Lane, and Johnny B went on the air with Buzz, and he's like, "Hey, I got these tickets to see Jerry Lewis. I don't know who wants to see him, but we got some tickets to give away. Best Jerry Lewis impression. Give us a call." So I'm working at a marketing company, and I didn't do any work until he was off the air. They didn't know it. I just tap, tap, tap on my keyboard, and I was a regional manager for a marketing company. Anyway, so at 10 o'clock, then I would work. But anyway, until then, I'm listening to his radio show very intently.
Right.
Just like love him and love his show. So I hear this and I'm like, well, I kind of do a Jerry Lewis. I didn't have it down as much as I think I have it now, which doesn't do me a lot good now that Jerry Lewis is dead, unless you're doing a Jerry Lewis in heaven bit. So yeah. Anyway, I call in and there's all these people ahead of me. Boom, boom, boom. It gets to me. And because I went through Second City, I think that's what saved me, because I was able to kind of riff and be improv, because I had no like set, like just as you heard, I have no set jokes in my
right,
head
right.
other than the stupid ones that I remember because my wife tells them all the
right,
time.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, all right, we got Hoover. And it's like, lady, hi, what this world needs now is love, sweet love. Yeah. Hi, neighbor. Hi, neighbor. So, like, they're immediately laughing, and Buzz is like, I'd rather see Hoover than Jerry Lewis. So, from that moment on, I won the tickets, and anytime Jerry came up in the news, they would call me at work. Is Jerry available to talk to John?
Right.
And I was enjoying it. It wouldn't be, like, every day. It might be once a month, or they would start making up excuses, like,
right.
just call me to have me comment yeah. on anything. And one day I'm like, what am I doing? I'm working this marketing company, not really enjoying myself. I could have grown with the company and made decent money and sock away a bunch of cash in 401k and stuff. And I'm like, why don't I just reach out to Brandmeier? And like, so I called the office, and his producer said, well, he's very businesslike off the air. So, you know, I'm not aware of any jobs open, but I know he likes you. I don't know. I would just handle it like a business thing and send a cover letter and resume. So I did. And about 3 months later, on a handwritten note, it said, timing is everything.
Hmm. Back from him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked on the phone. I took a big cut in pay, but we both rolled the dice. He said, let's try it for 90 days, see what happens out from this. I didn't have a wife. I didn't have a car. I had a roommate. So, I mean, I'm like, I could lean myself down a little bit here as far as costs. And if I don't do it now, I'll never do it. So, and I have had so much fun contributing on just that one. See, all he knew is he does a Jerry Lewis. So from day one, I felt like I need to prove that I'm more than just a Jerry Lewis impression.
Right.
So that's where, you know, coming up with ideas, creating new characters, developing new celebrity impersonations, coming up with content. All those skills were transferable when I got hired here at WGN, thank God. I mean, I basically was a writer, producer, contributor on radio, and then I was able to kind of do that at GN. Not immediately.
Shift to TV,
they weren't immediately like, put that kid on TV. He's got a great-looking puss. But it did transfer. Those skills you learn in one medium can be transferred.
Did I read? I think I read somewhere that your Jerry Lewis was so good. I mean, kind of now how sometimes we make those fake phone calls, but where a lot of people fooled by Jerry Lewis.
I fooled some that are like, well, Carol Channing, you know, she was like 80 years old at the time, but there were some impressive ones that I fooled, like Bruce Willis. I called him in Cannes, France for the film festival, and he questioned. He goes, this isn't Jerry Lewis. And I'm, this ain't Bruce Willis. So I just stuck to it, and I had to like come up with an excuse to get off the phone with him. I should dig that tape up and give it to you guys because he stayed on the phone with me. He gave me like his agent's name and his number, and I'm like, oh, and we're on the air live. I mean, we never see that's a thing. They're supposed to say you're live on the air right now. We never really did that.
Come and get me, FCC. I'm ready.
So what was it like working with Johnny B? You once said that he would tell you guys to bake the cake, find the meat, keep your head down, and stay focused. Do you still live by that?
That's exactly it. I used to be, I don't want to say a tattletale, but I'm very protective. I am still to this day very protective of him. Mm-hmm. He gave me my first opportunity. He rolled a dice on me. He got, my foot was in a door, and on day one, I think James Mason died. These references are like for people 55 and older, I know, but... He's an old British actor. You might remember him from
He was in one of the versions of A Star is Born with Judy Garland. Mm. He was also in a movie called Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Ah, uh-huh, yes.
So anyway, I did a equally bad impression that day, but on day one, I wanted to show that I can contribute and do more than what he knew of.
Right.
So where am I going with this story? Working with him.
Yeah. Right.
I learned everything. I mean, I learned everything from that guy. I will tell you this. He is very professional. He is very businesslike. There wasn't a lot of off-site goofing off. People always assume like, oh, you must be hanging out at each other's houses on the weekend.
Right.
Very, very seldom did we get together off the show. But we're not there to be friends. I'm an employee. So, and I wanted to learn. And I was hungry. And he gave me that opportunity. And we just had a great time. One thing I will share, and maybe he'll hear this and be mad at me, but I don't think he had bad intentions. But some places in a creative environment, the boss will like to see a little competition between their employees. So there was another writer producer there who had been there longer than I mean, he was there when I got there. So he'd already been there a couple of 5 years or something. So initially Johnny was like, yeah, you guys will both be like trying to submit stuff and like, you know, kind of playing off each other. But mostly, you know, you guys kind of be like, you know, you'll be sending ideas. He'll be sending ideas. And so after he presented that, I went to the other writer producer, Brendan, and I said, hey, man. And because, you know, he was quick to show me his family photo on his desk. Like, hey, dude, just so you know, I got a family. And I'm like, hey, dude, just so you know, we're on the same team. So we created stuff together as a team. Sometimes it'd be, you know, 80% him and 20% me. Sometimes it'd be 50-50. But we always collaborated on the ideas because we thought, you know what? We both have great ideas. We can work together. Why do we want to put ourselves in a competitive? It was bad enough you're in radio trying to compete for ratings. Why do we need to, you know, compete
in fight
as a team? And I learned a lot from him. So I have huge respect for him and great appreciation for him. And much I will jump springboard from that to say Brandmeier and then Larry Potash, because Larry Potash gave me my foot in the door at WGN based on Voicemail Frenzy, the segment we do every day at 7:20. When I was unemployed in 2001, Brandmeier didn't re-sign his contract. So I'm sitting at home, and I've never watched WGN Morning News because I was always working.
Right.
And I'm flipping through channels, and I turn on the show, and I'm like, God, this show is like a radio show. They got their own, like, cast, and if you walk away from the TV, it sounds like you're listening to the radio. And they're not all buttoned up and stiff. They're actually like, look like they're friends and they're funny and their chemistry is really great. Wow. So I would watch a show and then I would call the number and I'd leave wacky weenies, I call them, you know, little song parodies about Larry's eyes or he's got Larry Potash eyes. I mean, I could dig this crap up, but I would just listen and watch the show, call into the voicemail. One day Larry's like, I don't know who this guy is, but he's producing more of the show than our actual producers here. And finally, I did this for quite a while.
Yeah.
I would VCR, you know, tape the show to see if, hey, they aired my voicemail. They aired my voicemail. But that's the only, I didn't think beyond that. Like,
how can I leverage this?
Until Larry said that, the light bulb went off, and I'm like, dear Larry Potash, I am the mysterious caller that's been watching your show and contributing content. I would love the opportunity to talk to you more about potential opportunities that may or may not. So he wrote me back, hey, we're having a little party. Robin's husband, we're having a party. You want to meet us there? And so I came there.
Right.
Larry's with his wife, and I bring Tracy, and I walk up to Larry, and I go, hi, I'm Jeff Hoover. And he goes, you're not as weird as I thought you'd be. And I'm like, thank you.
Right.
No, but that's where it all began. Yeah. So he helped get me in the door. It took a while because, you know, there wasn't like a sign, you know, we're looking to hire a complete idiot poster on the wall or anything like that.
Right.
So I'd kind of prove myself. So they offered kind of like a freelance opportunity where.
So starting out, you're only getting paid.
Yeah, I'm only getting paid.
You're putting on the air.
Yeah, until it got on the air.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I might come
up with
an idea. I might come up with an idea, and then I've got to get, you know, help, you know, get a shooter, sit with an editor, and then when it hit the air, you get a a couple hundred bucks or whatever it was.
Right.
But I did that for like a year and a half, and
but that's good though too, because it forces you to create.
Yeah.
It's the only way you eat.
Yeah.
Constantly.
But my wife was carrying the load.
Yeah.
And one day I thought, well, maybe I'll go back to school, which is hilarious because I'll get my transcript. I believe I was a pretty good student. And I got my transcript. And I believe I will not be doing that. I will not be a good teacher. No, I don't think I would want me to teach any children. So I finally reached out to Bruce. Bruce Wolf, who at the time worked at the Fox show in Chicago, was looking. They were looking for a sports producer, and I have almost zero real sports knowledge. I mean, I follow Cubs and stuff, but I don't know all the numbers and stats and blah, blah, blah. But he knew that if he could get me in the door and show them what I can do, that I'd be a valuable asset to their show, which I greatly appreciated. So I kind of faked interest. And then I kind of leaked that out here.
Right.
I felt okay, I want to work here.
Yeah.
So I got to tell them, hey, I might take a job with a competitor.
Right.
I need benefits. I need the money. I can't just, get a couple hundred bucks a month.
Right.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So luckily I had proved my worth to that point where they said, all right, well, don't sign anything. Let's see what we can do. So thank God it happened. And that, in January, it'll be 17 years, and then you don't count the year and a half of freelancing. So.
Right. Wow.
And then I just looked at the calendar. This Sunday, I think, is my seven-year anniversary of And Now for Something Completely Hoover, which if you don't like, blame Larry Potash, because he's the guy that in a sweeps meeting goes, Hoover, you do these great productions, they take a lot of time to produce, and they're great, but... Boy, how about if we just gave you Mondays are slow. Why don't we just give you a slot on a Monday, and you can do whatever the hell you want.
Right. Every week.
Yeah, every week. Yeah. And it seems easy.
Right.
But, you try to not do the same thing. And I had real grand hopes when I first started. I thought, and I did. If I go back and look, I rode a mechanical bull. I learned a traditional German dance. I mean, it was going to be Walter Mitty of, doing things out that I didn't know how to do. But now it's become, true or false with, random questions with. Right. But if we got a great guest and they're willing to play.
Yeah.
And, we only have them for 4 or 5 minutes most times.
Right.
There's a lot left on the table or things that I know they're not going to ask him that I can ask him.
Right.
We're going to come back to Now for Something Completely Hoover, but just real quick, you've known Robin Baumgartner a long time. I found this quote from Robin about you. It was actually published 10 years ago today on October 24, 2009.
Oh, my God.
Robin told the folks at Chicago Radio Spotlight that, quote, Jeff is the funniest, most talented segment producer in Chicago, but he's a compulsive liar. So are you a compulsive liar?
No.
Don't lie.
I don't think I'm a liar, but you know what? I'll give you a fun fact.
Yeah.
For as long as I've known Robin Baumgartner, first of all, thank you, even though that's 10 years ago, and hopefully I still have some, she still holds me with some respect, but I'm scared the hell out of her. She's scared. Robin to this day.
Scares you?
Robin, you scare the hell out of me. I don't know. You intimidate me for some reason. I don't know because, I respect you very much and your opinion means so much. And then when I fail, it's like, oh man, she's going to be mad at me or she doesn't. Think I'm very good or
it's like disappointing your parents.
And Larry, I feel the same way because Larry's even told me himself, he sometimes views me when I'm me on camera, he's kind of like a dad watching his kid go to bat at a baseball game. Like, come on, son, you can swing. Don't
away.
Hold back.
Swing
come
away,
on.
Jeff.
Swing. You got a piece of it. You got a piece of it, son. Don't you be ashamed. You go sit down. And then sometimes it'll be like, I got some old Larry's Worlds if you want to look at to give you some ideas for your segment. And I'm like, well, Larry, that's your thing. Thing is I'm trying to find what my thing is. But, everything else, sometimes you swing hard and you miss the ball completely, and sometimes you do get a nick of it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, whoa, we got a home run. And you just try to, like Brandmeier used to say, puffs of air, let it go. Mm. He wouldn't even celebrate victories sometimes. So I'd be like, whoa, we don't either. We're number one show in Chicago. And the ratings will be last day of, we'll find out, we are number one. And there's Not even a cake.
Nope.
Not even a cake. Applause. No. If anything, maybe a slow clap.
Yeah. Then get back to work.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's fine. I like being in a position where we treat each day like it's important.
Yeah.
So, exactly. That's a good work ethic. I think it means more. You can only do what you can do and just make sure you do it the best you can.
Talk to us about your writing process. You do a lot of different things here, constantly creating zany, manic madness for this show. Where does it all come from?
I don't know, but I'm seriously considering. We had Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs on, and we were talking, and he said he does a lot of his writing on airplanes. Mm-hmm. And he said that helps him be more concise, get to the point quicker. And I think that I also write on a plane. I love doing these. I've probably written maybe 20 little blog entries that I put on Facebook called Random Thoughts on a Plane.
Yeah. Mm.
And I try not to make them too, the joke references too current. And I think sometimes I'm better writing than I am able to deliver it. As you can tell right now, this is very intimate. Are you listening to this podcast still? Thank you so much. I'll go out with your mother. I don't know where that came from. I need to lay down. Anyway, writing. Right. I think I'm old school.
Yeah.
Like I remember watching, hey, ain't that something? It's Bob Hope. You know, I remember watching Bob Hope, the Jerry Lewis movies. I remember watching all that on Channel 9 when I was a fat kid in St. Joe, Michigan. Arms reached to the TV, flipping the channels. Mm-hmm. 2, 5, 7, 9, 32, 44. Watching, you know, Spanish TV, whatever. I mean, we didn't have choices.
Right.
But anyway, because I watched Channel 9, Bozo, loved all that. Hey, boys! You know, I love all that Bozo stuff, the children's shows. I was mesmerized by Channel 9.
It influenced everything you
did. And I walk into these doors to this day, and this is not BS Jen Lyons or Paul Rennie or Nexstar. But I get a tingle in my jingle when I walk in the door at the old number 9 because I reflect back to being a kid, never dreaming that one day I'd be here.
Right.
And thank God, still here right now until they go, who's the guy with the neck brace and the robot? The robot thing. I don't get it. Don't really think that really fits into our local approach to news broadcasting.
Right.
Get that, cut that.
So one of your other jobs is booking guests, which is, you know, an on and off thing. You're always searching for a big guest.
Yeah.
But on top of searching for a big guest, a lot of people don't know that Jeff Hoover is also Uber to the stars, Airbnb to the stars.
Mm-hmm.
You're hosting them at your house. Your wife makes wonderful dinners.
It's
Talk
true.
About that. Why are you so nice to everyone?
God, I hope it's not like I'm a stalker. I would never. I'm never.
People
gonna,
take
like,
you up on it. It's not like you're forcing.
Hey, Potsy,
them.
Come down to the basement.
It's like that movie Misery where you strap him to the
I'm going
to
hobble you, Potsy, until you tell me what Pinky Tuscadero was like. No. That was the disappointing one. Hopefully you won't listen to this. I love Anson Williams, a.k.a. Potsy Weber from Happy Days. Again, I'm aging myself. If you're 55 and you're older right now,
that's pretty much
you are loving the hell out of this. But when I picked him up from the airport, for some reason he was in the back seat. But anyway, he got in the back seat, and I did feel like an Uber driver, I guess, a bit. And that was before Uber, I think. Anyway, so he gets in the back seat, and I'm thinking I want to talk a little bit of Happy Days and stuff like that. And instead he goes, you know, if our founding fathers were around and alive today, they'd be very disappointed in the Constitution and what we've done, not representing them. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get political
Politics,
here.
Yeah.
But that was, we got over that. We got over that hump. Hey. I've had Potsy over for dinner and to the winery, Linford Winery.
Yeah.
Ding, ding. And I've had
Dwyer Brown.
Dwyer Brown played the Kevin Costner's dad from Field of Dreams. Getting a little obscure, but very emotional part of the movie.
Yeah.
Don't want to spoil it for you. They all die. and then he came over for dinner and actually slept over.
Oh. How many people have slept over?
He's the only one.
Oh.
I've had the band Everest.
That's what I was going to say.
I've had Teatro Zinzani over for dinner. Who else has come over for
dinner? That's an interesting crew.
Yeah. I hope to have you both over for dinner.
Please. Well, actually, great.
You did come over for Ross.
Oh.
This is before you and I started, Brian and I, before we had our
yes
moment. But there'll be time. Yes. There'll be time enough for counting.
when the dealing's done. You got to know when to fold them.
Okay, where was I?
So I won the Nobel Peace Prize. I was ready to join in there.
Who's your favorite guest of all time?
Well, I hate to keep bringing up Mike Rowe, but in the hierarchy of favorite, let me see if I can give you five.
Sure.
Yeah.
And maybe even in a particular order. Can you guess who the number one is?
Mike Rowe.
No. Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks.
Oh, sure, okay. Yeah.
Number two? John Cleese.
Okay.
From Monty Python.
Sure.
Number three?
The Fonz.
Mike Rowe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number four?
Oh, yeah. Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler. I know you love
it. Bonnie Hunt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And number five, Jeff Garlin.
Oh, but wait, I'm forgetting Gilbert Gottfried. Yeah.
I was going to tell you one of my favorite interviews of all time on radio was Gilbert Gottfried on with Gary Meyer about 5 years ago. And Gilbert Gottfried made the choice of saying yes or no. So any questions, and Gary didn't know this was happening. And it frustrated Gary so much because he realized he's got a good guest in studio. Mm-hmm. But he thought at some point Gilbert will break. He'll elaborate on a question was asked. But he just went, yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. And when he was on our show one time, he said, hey, can I say penis? Right. And I said, well, yeah, I think you can say penis. He went on and did a joke that and said p-s about 80 times, yeah. I swear to God.
P-s, p-s, p-s. Your producer said I could say it.
Gilbert loves to make you feel uncomfortable.
He
gets more entertainment out of like possibly, you know.
Going over the line.
Yeah.
I wonder who else is like that. I once got reprimanded for calling John Tesh, referring to him as Christopher Walken, I called him Slap Nuts. And in the meeting after the show, the news director came in and said, why are you calling him Slap Nuts? And I'm like, it's not like Slap Nuts.
Right.
It's just a ridiculous word that just came out. But I'm like, tickle that pickle, Slap Nuts. And I got a little bit of heat for that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Of all the guests we've had on, who's the biggest jerk?
Mario Lopez.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
He was here to promote kids staying active and exercising in school. And again, I thought I had a decent idea. Mm-hmm. Not a great idea, but instead of like showing him off in the wings, like coming up, we've got Mario Lopez. Because if a good guest is here, and calling him good is a bit of a stretch. If they want to see them, like instead of showing B-roll of them from Saved by the Bell or something. Hey, if they're physically here, can we do a quick bump shot, show them off in the side next to the stagehand or something? So instead of doing that, I thought, well, there just happens to be kids here. Why don't you go into studio with them and do some like jumping jacks? As I'm pitching this idea, the newspaper in which he was not reading at all, he picks it up and then puts the newspaper over his face.
Oh.
Like I just
didn't even, weren't like even there.
I just farted in his face or something.
Right.
So he did not like that idea. But fun fact, I walked away with his manager and I said, really? Was it that bad of an idea? I mean, he's here to promote kids exercise. Right. There's kids here. Really? And then I walked away. And then when I came back, he was gone. I thought, oh God, he left. I look up on the monitor, and there he is in the studio doing jumping jacks for the kids. So either the manager got to him or he thought more of it. But so that ended up being okay. Another person, Carmen Electra. Why are they always like the C-level guests? But of course, at the time, Carmen Electra. She was promoting some kind of razor.
Okay.
What kind of razor? My idea was like, hey, bump shot. Dean with shaving cream on his head and her like, being startled, like, coming up, Carmen Electra's here. And like, she's shaving his head. He was game.
Yeah.
But she was like, she looked at me like, gross. No. So it, You know, not a horrible story, but
just people who
it's the
they weren't here to bother.
Like
to go
Larry
along
often
with
says,
joke.
It's the A-listers that are like
who are willing.
You're always blown away. Like
yep.
Mike Rowe, I did a bit with him yesterday that will air Monday. Well, by the time this airs, you've already watched it a million times, I'm sure. He comes in the door, and I'm like, hey, I've got this segment on Mondays, and let's do it. Before I even like,
right.
I'm like, well, here's the premise. You got a camera? Let's do it. Yeah. I'm like, well, the premise is, and then I explain the premise. Boom. One take, Jake nails it. Yeah. Has a good time. Says, send me the link when it airs. I'll tweet it out. And I'm like,
these
are the great people that get it. That
right.
We're helping each other. They've got a message. They've got something to promote.
Yep.
And we're giving them an opportunity on the number one show to get that message out there. And then, hey, how about a little bonus something? Huh?
A little
something extra, something for you and something for me.
Right.
And do it in a fun way.
Yeah, right. Find it. That's the key to the Brandmeier tank of people that worked on that show. Jimmy Mack, Brendan Sullivan, Carol Harmon, Office Lady Cheryl. I mean, we worked as a team and every day throwing ideas out. Every day. And that's where the Tom Hanks Hall of Fame thing comes from. Day before he's here, what are we going to do with him? What can we do? And I'm sitting there on this dumb idea, and finally I'm like, well, we could have everybody, like, behind the scenes dress up as characters from Tom Hanks movies, and then, like, he walks down the hall, and people are like, I couldn't tell. Like, people are like, well, I'll go to Fantasy Costumes, and I'll get all the costumes, and I'll sign the people to play whatever part.
Yeah.
And we rolled the dice. Thank God.
Yeah.
He was so quick and so into
great.
It.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I think it was a viewer favorite in the special.
It's an iconic clip.
Whatever.
Yeah.
One of the and there's a relating story to that. Relating story.
Yeah.
Henry Winkler, who I do love, by the way.
Yeah.
But I think last time he was here, I irritated him. I never told anybody this, but I think when I taped a bit with him, this is my preamble every time I do the bit. And first of all, I have a sensor on my body or in my brain that tells me you're really annoying. You're really annoying.
You have you and had that really, checked lately?
Oh, yeah, I need to get the batteries checked.
Not going off?
Yeah. So I do this preamble every time. I'm like, okay, I do this segment on Mondays, and here's my rule. If when we're done, we don't like it, or you don't like it, I won't air it.
Right.
And that's only happened one time with Emo Phillips, who we taped the bit.
Right.
He wanted to watch it back. He's laughing throughout. At the end, he goes, I prefer you not run that. And I'm like, why?
You just
funny.
Laughed.
He goes, I wasn't very funny in it. So I never aired that.
Oh.
But so anyway, so I do this preamble. I do all that, like I'm doing now.
Right.
And now, oh, the annoying sensor. No, but so I was doing that with Henry Winkler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I even added this element because then I get really self-conscious. We're rolling. You know, they do that. We're rolling.
Yeah.
And then I always do this to the guests because they don't really... Unless they've been here a bunch of times, they don't know me.
Right.
I'm still not 100% comfortable being me. So if I'm being me with this guest that I really like enough to do a bit with, I feel like sometimes when I'm being me, I have to say, oh, by the way, excuse the kind of the fake voice. Because it's like, hey, good morning, Larry and Robin. Hey, I'm here. And it's a little bit, it's not me. It's a little bit, you know, when you're
a broadcaster.
Yeah. You know, kids, if you're listening, as a broadcaster, one needs to take on a persona that's not quite real. Anyway, so I was doing that, and then Henry's like, just do it.
Right.
Just do it. It was like, oh,
the
Fonz is going to kick my throat. Right. Give me a scissor kick.
Right. Kind of the same thing when you and Gallagher.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Gallagher.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a... Whew. Anyway.
Yeah, that clip.
He was trying
priceless.
To change everything.
Right.
Like, I had him all agreed to do the whole
bit,
and then Gallagher was trying to change the script. And it made no sense to him. Anyway, that's
all. Yeah, you
got to
see the clip to laugh. I mean, we talked about your weekly segment, and now for something completely
enough
Hoover.
Enough of the weekly segment
it
talk.
It airs at 8:20 a.m. every Monday.
I told you I didn't want to talk about my weekly segment.
How do you come up with ideas for that? Just based off of a wild weekend? Or
any of the interns over the last 7 years that have been doing it will tell you, on days where we don't, or on a week where we didn't have any really good guests, I tell them, look up this day in history for that date
and play off that.
Celebrity birthdays and odd holidays, and use more than one source.
Right.
Email me what you come up with. And sometimes it's like, you know, Ben Franklin farted in the White House.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I'll do a reenactment of
that.
Yeah.
So sometimes for your segment, you do these drawings to honor cartoonist Bill B.J. Jackson, where you take someone's
Their initials and what they wanted to be when they grow up. That was one part of his show, which was in a several different format. Well, titles. It was B.J. and Dirty Dragon. It was Cartoon Town. And it was also Giggle Snort Hotel.
Yeah.
Like I said, as a little kid, there wasn't all these apps. There were no phones. There were no cell phones. You only had five channels.
Right.
And one of the channels, thank God, was Bill Jackson, who's not only a gifted cartoonist, but the ideas, the creativity, the puppets, the storylines with the puppets, the amount of entertainment he and, you know, all those people that worked on all those classic children's shows, I still try to carry that on to this day.
Right.
That's why, you know what? I'm going to book a magician. I'm not going to book, I'm going to try not to book a crappy one.
Right.
But that's my way of tipping the hat to Bozo,
right,
who used to feature all these great variety performers, jugglers and fire eaters and all that. That element, as long as I'm here, I'm always going to tip my hat to that, because that's what our foundation is, whether anyone else agrees or not. We are about breaking the sameness barrier, doing things that are that no one else will do or try to do. We'll fall on our face, but we'll get back up and try it again,
right?
Or try it differently.
Yeah.
I think that's why people watch. They like the spontaneity. You never know what's going to happen. Sometimes I think we get a little self-conscious. We think our bag of tricks are getting old, but I think we do a good job smacking the crap out of it and getting the dust off and continuing new segments and dusting off the old ones. You know,
right.
Think about Voicemail Frenzy. It's had many producers over this entire 25. I don't even know how long it's been on, but it's really evolved. It's not just voicemail. It's
right.
It could be anything.
And other stuff.
It's a potpourri.
Right.
Hello, Cisco.
But that's what's cool about, I mean, you've taken these segments too, and you've honored them where, like, you actually have a relationship with Bill Jackson where he's sending you, hey, Jeff, great job. And I know he actually sends you mail.
Yeah, and he'll draw cartoons on the actual
So you're doing package. It justice, and that's got to be cool.
It definitely feels good. I will never be as great as Bill Jackson is, but the fact that he appreciates and enjoys my attempt to keep him in people's minds and keep that kind of entertainment or that kind of fun alive, that means more than ratings. Well, ratings are good too, but
exactly.
You know what I'm saying.
You're also quite the performer, which if anyone's listening has experienced. We interviewed Mike Toomey for this podcast last year. He said you're fearless when you perform. So tell us, what are you afraid of?
Sucking. And the name is Hoover, so I've heard, you know, Hoover sucks.
Yeah,
my
of course.
Entire life.
Hilarious.
A fat kid.
Yeah.
That even was even worse, you know. Hoover sucking down the food. Anyway, I have many emotional scars. What is the question? Toomey asked if what?
He said you're fearless, and I'm just jokingly asking
what
you're afraid of.
I'll never be as fearless as like Will Ferrell taking his shirt off, and he's got, you know, the love handles, and he's got some kind of scar.
Yeah.
And to me, that's, but I'll take off my pants before I'll take off my shirt.
Oh.
And that goes back to, you know,
nice
being
legs.
A fat kid. I used to wear a t-shirt into the water at the beach. I mean, it would be like 90 degrees out
shirtless.
And it's like, why do you got a shirt on?
You've been shirtless on the show.
Yeah, but I'm sure I like tweaked my nipples or something so I didn't have such incredible man boobs or something.
You do have a lot of recurring characters on the show. Do you have a favorite?
I guess I like Wink Winkle. He's kind of evolved a little bit over the last couple of years, if only in the fact that I now tuck in the shirt tail that used to hang out of the zipper, just because I got tired of getting forwarded emails about, hey, that guy's shirt tail's hanging out. That's a bad example. I watch the show with my kids.
You better tell him to knock that crap out of it. When he comes on the show, I turn it off. It's disgusting, his shirt tail hanging out there. What's he implying?
Could we hear from Wink Winkle?
Well, I don't know. Wink?
Hello, Twinkle Twinkle. It's your old pal, Wink Winkle.
Hey, thanks for joining us. What do you think of Jeff's performance so far, Wink?
Well, he's not my cup of tea, but I'm hoping that you out there are enjoying it. I'm having a little snifter. 10W40. Delicious. All right, I gotta go. I feel a mud pie in the pants.
All right, see you, Wink.
All right, thanks, Wink.
Suck it.
I Greg Caputo hated Wink Winkle.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. He wanted to kill Wink Winkle. He really wanted to kill Wink Winkle. Thank God Paul is the only one. Paul Conrad, he likes my Brad the Robot, and he likes my Wink Winkle.
Right.
I think otherwise I would never do it again. And I stopped doing, and I should bring him back, but I'll have to find a way to do it. It's been so long, but I used to do Cletus T. Hognut.
Yes, we're gonna ask
from Whiting, that. Indiana.
Yes,
and I used to do that and enjoy the heck out of it. But I'd always get hate mail
from Whiting. Yeah,
right. We don't got trailer parks down here. What do you always do that Whiting, Indiana thing down about the trailer park and got that guy with the coonskin cap? He pulls out of the back of his pants. He and that Wink Winkle, whenever they're on, I turn the channel back to QVC and I buy myself one of them wind chimes made out of bottled caps, and I got a pinky ring signed by...
this is the last episode of the World's Greatest Newspaper Television Podcast. It's been really lovely having this show.
Thanks for having me on.
This is a nice run.
I will not turn the channel now.
I think Ross has a question for you.
Brad the Robot. How did you come up with that? Was it just you had a robot suit? Or
No. Here's what's funny about that. A lot of stuff just is triggered by real stuff going on here. When we went to robotic cameras, Brad was a robotic camera.
Okay.
So the bad joke thing, I don't know.
I never got the backstory on him.
Yeah. That's what, the backstory.
Yeah, backstory.
Larry Barr. Saturdays at 10. Replayed on Sundays. I didn't have a bell, so I had to belch. So anyway, the backstory, the joke, bad joke telling robot.
Yeah.
That, I don't know. I think I just probably felt self-conscious, like it can't just be.
Yeah, I'll put the robot suit on.
I am an automatic, robotic camera.
You know, so.
Right.
And my goal in those, when I do appearances with Paul, are finding like kids' jokes for the most part, but then making them borderline inappropriate. Which all comes from my dad, who I've had a whole lifelong exposure.
Mm-hmm.
He'd bring home these jokes from Whirlpool. He worked at Whirlpool, and they'd be on paper, and it'd be like, kind of risque. You know, had it folded up in his pocket. And he'd be like, hey, look at this, Jeffro. He called me Jeffro.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't know if Jeffro? That was like Jeffro, not Jethro.
Like Jethro.
Jeffro. Huh. So, and I didn't have a fro. Huh. So I don't know. I'm going to have to ask him, where'd that come from, Dad?
Yeah.
Who are you hanging out with?
Get back.
What kind of lingo? Every time that Hoover guy's on that television, I turn the channel. I just don't. Why are you laughing at him? Why are you people laughing at him? You're just giving him a fuel for the fire, and the fire's not good. All righty.
Don't you?
I'm going to download this right in the toilet.
You have a special relationship with Larry Potash's cat, Chantel.
Meow. Meow.
Oh.
Meow.
Oh, I didn't know she was here.
And that's another one.
Yeah.
It's hard to... I don't even know where that came from. I think that was a joke that they may have started, like Larry having a cat. Then we actually made the cat a real thing to the point where I think Larry's probably bothered.
Does he really hate it, or is it that a put on?
I think if we did it every week, he would hate it. Oh, but I think he kind of gets it, that it's kind of a fun thing.
And it's one of those things. Anytime we do it,
and
it gets a couple thousand hits of video views on Facebook.
People like it.
Well, here's
it's the top trending thing on Facebook. You know.
And the cool thing is that somebody out there. I met the girls. I can't remember their. Well, I probably shouldn't expose this because maybe some of you really thought Chantel really had a Facebook page. But there's a couple of fans of Chantel that created a Facebook page. I think it's Chantel
Larry Potash's cat or something like that. And they will just post meow. Right. Like they'll write meow.
In response to things.
Or just that's their status.
Meow.
Right.
Meow. Meow.
The best thing about that is if you just get in a silly fit sometimes and it's hard to keep from reacting to whatever Larry says or whatever Paul says. And it's hard to, I mean, that's not a great, everybody does a cat impression. It's so bad. Right. But I think that's kind of part of the fun, is it? Anyway. Oh. Who let the dogs out? That was for you, Larry. I know you're listening.
One last character here.
Backstory. Get another plug in there for me, would you? Hmm?
Huh? He's kind of Ted. He's kind of Ted Knight. Hmm?
Pookie? Pookie? Hmm? You know, I'm no slouch myself, Ty. Hmm?
All right.
If Andy Rooney were here, is there anything he's upset about?
You ever wonder why there's so many kinds of ties? There's striped ties. There's polka dot ties. There's string ties. There's garbage bag ties. And there's Thai food.
No, I love... That's also 55 and older. We're rocking. I used to love his commentary on 60 Minutes. I mean, I didn't care about Anwar Sadat or you know, explosions in Belfast. It was, to me, it was just watch this old man rant and just go off. He would just start on one topic and it would go. So I like writing as Andy Rooney sometimes on Facebook too.
Right.
And that's where that came from.
Mm.
You know, Joe, all fairness, you know, we know that the
Top Bears case,
that was an SNL thing,
right.
But they didn't make it a musical. Bears guys,
right.
Which is how I separate. Like people, you're ripping off Saturday Night Live.
It's like
I turn the channel every time. So that's how I justify it. It's like, okay, Joe Piscopo, I think, used to do Andy Rooney. So is it a ripoff? But I'm sure like a lot of people used to, you know, do
similar
thing. It's what you do with it and what you're ranting about.
Right.
It
makes it different. I could have been like, take the cheap way out and go, it's Andy Rooney Jr. or something like that.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe to make him.
We're talking comedy. We're talking about respecting writers and the creators of other shows that may have inspired those characters. But if you've taken and kind of tweaked, kind of took their nipples and tweaked, and can we say nipples?
Ross and I have both been lucky enough to be part of the madness for the annual Halloween trip to Fantasy Costumes. Mm-hmm. Ross missed it this year. He had better things to do, I guess, but that's okay.
I missed seeing you run around in your underwear.
talk to us about what's it like producing that year in and year out.
It's more and more and more and more stressful because when you go there, not a lot of people know this. I went there twice before we went there live that day.
So what are you doing when you go
I'm
there?
I'm looking at the... costumes going, did that. Did we do that?
No.
Yeah, we did that. Did that. Oh, we didn't do this one.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't show the on the air. No. But there's some of those inappropriate costumes they keep in the corner. You know, like the genie lamp that says rub me and all the, you know, all the knight that you lift up the apron and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We've asked a few people on this podcast who their favorite people are on the morning show. Paul said Robin. Pat said Anna. Anna said Pat, so there's obviously something going on there. Mm. Who's your favorite? Keep in mind, nobody has said Ross or Brian. So,
Well, I love them all, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. They all are very accepting, and if I ask them to do anything, for the most part, the only thing Larry won't do is put on a woman's outfit.
Yeah,
I've learned that. He doesn't really like to act. He really gets...
He doesn't think he's a good thespian, but he is.
He is a good thespian.
Right. He is.
So he needs to get more confident about that. Maybe now that he's doing Backstory, Saturdays at 10 and Sunday replay. No bell. No burp.
So did you answer the question?
No, I didn't. I think my favorite, and I think for obvious reasons, because he is such a supportive person, and I will say I've probably spent more time with Paul off air. You know, lost my mom in March, and he was very comforting. And, you know, he lost his dad years ago, and I knew I could talk to him about some of the stuff. You know, it's really tough losing a parent. And when you work on a show that's supposed to be fun and, right. you know, you can take some time off, but
yeah.
you were, I'm in my first year of first birthday without my mom right. coming up on Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's going to be, you know, a little tough. There's been some things that were really important. My parents are very supportive of me and have been. But my mom was kind of like the one that kept it all together, and she knew all the important dates in our lives, and she did all the shopping for presents. And, you know, it's a lot of my dad now. He's like, he called and wished me happy birthday recently. He's like, happy 52. And I'm like, Dad, I'm 54. But, you know, I know not yeah. to expect.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
He's not my mom. My dad's my dad. Right, right, right. My right. mom, yep. you know, we all miss her very much. But there are some important things that, you know, they were always, if I was doing a show, they were in the audience. You know, I got the chance to interview Richard Dreyfuss. I mean, my God, I'm interviewing Richard Dreyfuss.
Right.
In front of people that paid money to see. And I was missing seeing my mom. So now I'm crying on a podcast. But no, I think parents are important. I hope you guys, I mean, who's not going to agree with that, right?
Yeah.
And when you lose one, you lose a part of yourself.
Right.
So, anyway.
I was just going to say to try
that'll bring me back.
Right. But that's the thing I think it comes back around to is off the air, it's like a family, most of the people here.
Yeah.
You can reach out.
Yeah. Paul,
to someone like
people
that.
Don't. Another thing people may not know about Paul, other than being a really caring person, again, not to say that not, you know, everyone
sure.
is, but Paul, especially because I've really connected. Over this stuff, Paul is actually a good newsmaker thinker. People don't expect that. You think the guy you see on the air sometimes seems or appears to be uninterested, but the guy is very interested in news, and in meetings oftentimes he'll suggest some really good thoughts and newsmaker ideas. So
right.
I think that's good to get that out there because some people don't know that part of him. You assume it's maybe, you know, you might assume that's just Larry. Larry works his off. He stays late. He does the Larry's World.
This podcast is literally just a vehicle for Ross and I to get invited to Paul's house.
So oh my gosh!
Could you help us?
Oh my gosh! I'd love to go up there. He's got the hell of a view. My
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
we've asked every guest if they could help us.
If you get a plus two,
yeah,
you let us know.
Have you been there?
Or
you haven't
three.
Been.
I was there Tracy. A long time ago, but this is before he's done.
He's
all
got
this.
The new. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
It's, long time ago.
Yeah.
I went to Larry's house once years ago when he used to live close to the station. I was invited to his Christmas party.
Mm.
And I think it started at 7 and we roll up at like 6:58 and I'm getting out the door and Tracy goes, We can't go. It doesn't start till 7. You're gonna wait till like 7:10. And I'm like, I'm not gonna sit in the car for 10 minutes. We're here. She goes, no, do not. This is early on in my working here. Dude, we're not going up there. So I'm like, I got her to get out of the car. It's 7:05, you know? Ring the doorbell. Larry's, I don't even know if he answered the door. I think maybe Lisa did. And like either Lisa's parents, I think Lisa's parents were there. Larry was, I think, still getting ready upstairs. And so like Tracy and I are the only ones there. And I think I stepped on his train. He had like a train that went around the Christmas tree. And I'm like, oh my God, I've been here 2 minutes. I've already like broke something.
Right.
And yeah, but it is weird when you're off campus, so to speak, and then you're hanging out with people that you work with and you know them in your work setting, but then now you're on your own personal time and you get some alcohol in you sometimes and you might say something that maybe you wouldn't have said if you were completely sober at work.
Yeah.
So that's always a slope, what do you call it? A slippery slope.
Yes.
Which goes back to my elementary school days when I got yanked out of class because I had a ESP, lisp.
Right.
Slippery slope. Suffering. Succotash.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Your work wife, producer Tyra Martin, told us that when you first started here, you used to eat soup out of the can. She said, quote, I knew he had a wife, so it was confusing to me why she would let him out of the house eating raw soup. I assume
I've been
she couldn't
exposed.
Possibly knew he was doing that. Were
I've
you
been
going
exposed.
Through a dark time? Or
a lazy time.
Okay.
Did Tracy know?
I don't think I ever told. I think she assumed that I heated it up in a bowl here.
Did
And you did not.
But I just ate out of a can.
Tara also told us about the time that you told Ryan Dempster that you loved him.
Yes.
Did
yes.
you guys hug?
It was kind of embarrassing. I'm such a fan of Ryan Dempster. I never thought, again, fat kid growing up in St. Joe, watching the station, watching the Cubs, and getting a chance to meet a real Cub player that was halfway decent or maybe above that even. And more importantly, the guy gives back to the community. He's a great guy, funny, good broadcaster. Anyway, so he's here, and we spend some time talking, and I'm not a real macho man. Like I said, I don't really know. I feel like to be macho, you have to know a lot about sports. So I try to chime in sometimes, and I'm like, oh, I'm lost. Oh, boy. I've really gotten myself in this now. Where do I go? So I felt like I was holding my own. I was all excited, like I didn't embarrass myself. My annoying button didn't go off.
Yeah. Right.
And as he's walking down the hall, leaving, I'm like, I love you. And I'm like, holy sorry. I can't believe I just told him I loved him. And I'm like, I hope he didn't hear me. I hope he didn't hear me.
Did he hear you? You don't know?
I brought it up to him when he was here with Bonnie
Let's
Hunt.
Let's double down on that.
Yeah. And he kind of just ignored it. That
oh,
I brought
it
up.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. I think he, yeah. I was kind of like, hey, do you remember that time I turned into like Farley, you know?
Right.
Remember when you were on and I said, I love you? Yeah.
That was cool.
That was embarrassing.
Don't get too mad at Tyra that she fed us that there.
No,
she
no.
She also said,
I'll do this, Tyra. Thanks a lot. You got me sick. So if you hear this like in my voice a little bit,
yeah,
you're always about telling people, ooh, wow, go home. You're right. Gonna get everybody sick. I think she got me sick. But I'm not like sick gonna vomit.
Right.
Although you listeners at home or in your car.
Great, you probably got us.
Grab a bag because it's about to get nasty. No. I don't even know what that means. But anyway, there's a little bit of a if some of my impressions aren't dead on, it's because I have a bit of snot in my head.
Anyway,
the one on my shoulders.
Tyra said.
He's trying to give you a compliment.
I'm trying to give you a compliment. Oh. You're not letting me.
Okay.
Tyra said that you're a really good producer and a great friend.
Oh, I love Tyra. Tyra is my work wife. I share her with Tom Barnes. We have an open marriage.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's 2019.
Yeah, we're all good.
Yeah.
Moving on from your work wife to your real wife, I reached out to your wife
my
before
gosh.
This interview.
Oh, she's going to listen to
Buckle
this
up.
Now.
Yeah. Are you ready for this question?
She didn't really know what exactly I wanted as much as dirt, so she gave me some options. She told us you gave a toast at Grandma Kitty's 90th birthday party. How'd that go?
Not good.
No?
No, I thought it was great.
Any material you want to reveal?
No, I kind of did, and I didn't memorize it. I had it written out, and it was kind of like, when you were 60, when you were 70, I just kept on like, in a but I probably didn't start at 60. I started way lower. But, right. But yeah, they probably wished I would have started at 60 at that point. But yeah, I don't remember, but I did like some, you know, it went on. I thought it was fairly well written.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, you're a few cocktails into the evening, yeah. And I've made the speech on like the staircase that overlooked the room. So I had like this grand setting for this, what was going to be a great speech. And then it was like, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
It probably reminded her of the time that I got up to sing karaoke and I thought I could do Who Can It Be Now? And then forgot how high that song gets. Who can it be now? Who can it be now? Who can it be now? See? And that's exactly how I went over. And like when I went back to the table to sit down, everybody like moved their chairs over. We don't know him.
She also told us about a high school performance, like a variety show as Wink or Brad that didn't go over very well.
Was it a reunion?
It was you go back every year, right?
Well, it's something called Encore, and it helps raise money for the St. Joseph Public Schools Foundation. And being a thespian and a lover of the school and the teachers there and the community, they've been doing these Encore variety shows where they invite back alumni that are interested to audition to perform and raise money. So they've done like three of these, and I've done each time they've done it, I've done it. So I've sang with a jazz band. I did a couple of skits. And then 2 years ago, I decided to bring out Brad the Robot and some of the jokes might have been a little racy for the audience.
Yeah.
And we did it two nights. So the second night, a guy that alumni that played in the orchestra pulled me aside and said, hey, a couple of those jokes are a little, you know, I got family out there. If you could like, and I'm like, what? I'm about to go out there.
Right.
And now you're
like right now.
And you're not the director.
Right.
Right.
I'm doing this. I'm volunteering my time. These jokes were approved. We did do right. I did submit what jokes right. I was doing, but now I got this guy worried about his grandma or whatever out in the audience. And I'm like, so I took it out, but then I replaced it with probably an equally inappropriate right. joke.
Right.
All right. I'll take out the gynecologist joke. I gotcha. All right. No. Now put in the joke.
Oh my gosh. My aunt and my uncle have been stalking you, I think, at your local winery.
Oh, Linford Winery. Ding, yeah. ding, ding.
It's not an ad. Do you want me to tell them to leave you alone?
No. But they wanted me to give you a little razzing about...
No, we're not going to talk about that.
Okay.
Moving right along. Wow. You like wine a lot. Red
wine.
Or white? Rosé? I heard there's an orange wine?
If there is, I'm not drinking it. Yeah. You know what? When I met Tracy, I didn't travel. I looked like somebody tried to dress me up like Chandler Bing. You know, I wore giant white tennis shoes and stonewashed jeans and a sweater vest. And I drank whiskey and Diet Coke. So I was really, I mean, she took me and like.
Refined.
You know, like. Hi, 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 like Lion King lifted me up in the sky and said, I'm going to change this lion cub into something better. So then she updated my look. I started drinking wine, and I'm like, wow, there's all kinds of wine. And, but, you know, out of all the wine trips, out of all the wine tastings, I could still just kind of go, oh, it's red.
Right.
So you're this one appears to be white. And this one's a little sweet. This one's dry. This one, where am I? Where are my pants?
Yeah.
Is that Hoover on the TV again? Give me the remote. Turn that son of a bitch off. Every time he's on there.
Oh, man.
If you can't tell by now, I have a real self. I'm pretty self-aware. And I think I wished I would have moved to Chicago sooner. There's so many things. But then I think, well, I wouldn't have met Tracy, and I wouldn't have, you know,
right.
everything kind of is, people say, how did you get here? How did you get on WGN right. Morning News? How did right. you? And they think, well, I think sometimes I take it offense to it. Like, well, if they can put you on there. Right. So I just turned into the blob. Anyway, it's a real winding road, and it sounds very cliche, but it's like, things just kind of happened. And I'm not to say I didn't work hard, because I did work hard to try to get those things to happen. But things kind of fall in place.
Mm-hmm.
But I did always have a drive. It took me a while to find it. And thank God, because my mom was able to see me achieve some success. You know, she got to see a lot of great things that I've been so fortunate to be a part of, radio, television. And she's very proud. My family's very proud. My wife, everyone's so supportive. People I work with, it's been a great ride. And I'm thinking, wow. Like the other day, we're on the porch, and Tracy's like, I'm telling Tracy, man, we're just going. We're always doing stuff. There's always, you know, I can't wait to retire. And she goes, you know what? When you retire, you retire. But right now, you're not retired. We're having fun.
Right.
And that's... she sometimes slaps me out of a funk.
Because
it's real easy when you're putting yourself out there or putting your material out there to, all it takes is one boo bird to poop on your car after you just had it washed to take me down the road.
Right.
Like I look at Robin and Larry and Pat and all of them, because I used to check voicemail. They're boo birds for all of us.
Oh, yeah.
And if you let it affect you, it will crush you. And I've gotten better, But occasionally there will be a crushing email. Like I keep joking about, oh, every time he's on the air, that was a real email or post that I saw once. And it sticks with you. Right. You want to be like, I want to be liked. I want people to like what I do. And some people just for whatever reason may not like me. And that's fine. Maybe I really truly do suck in their mind. And I've got to be willing to be big enough and to accept that, right?
Right.
But they may not know something that they really liked is something that was my idea or something I produced.
Right.
So it's like sometimes you want that to get out there. So you're like, see, you like that. Okay, I get you may not like what I do personally on the show. But, I mean, I've been here. And there are other things that I do beyond, you know, walk around in a robot costume or
right.
Drop my pants and take a pie in the face. I mean, right. There are other things that I do, and you want that out there. But then that, well, you know, now I feel like I should lay on a couch. But because it's, I want to be loved. Not loved, liked. Like,
right.
Just like me. And there are some people don't want,
love,
I think
like,
some
whatever.
People don't care.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Some people don't care.
Right. Yeah.
Like I'll say this, Pat Tomasulo does not care.
Doesn't no, give he doesn't. A crap.
And
no.
I wish I had that thick skin right. where I could yeah. say, I don't care.
Yeah.
But that's not me. Cause I do care. And it's
right.
like,
yeah.
I'd be, if I ever did stand up, I'd be so self-conscious. Like, why aren't you laughing?
Right.
But sir, where are you going?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's this need to be, and I think that comes from being a kid, and you know, my dad is a tough guy, a Marine, and I remember wanting to do a variety show skit when the Curly Shuffle came out. Remember that parody song, The Curly Shuffle? Okay, I'm
I think you're dating us.
Yeah. Yeah. The Three Stooges were very popular.
Oh, I know the Three
and
Stooges.
And there was a wacky parody song called The Curly Chef, Curly Shuffle.
Gotcha.
And I remember going to my dad going, oh, I'm going to do this act. And he goes, that's stupid. And it's, oh, it was right. crushing. So you go back to like, I think a lot of us, maybe it's just me, you go back to being a kid and I have a great teacher back in high school who's still with us and he does these encore shows. I'm talking about Dennis Bowen. Who would just let the line out. And Brandmeier's do the same thing. If I was off on a roll, and you guys have let me do this today, a lot of this you'll have to edit, I get it. But they just let the line out. It's like, all right, where is he taking us now? And then at some point, oh, got to reel it back in a little bit now. And that's such a great outlet. And I think a lot of that helped shape me as who I am as a person. You know, you want to be liked, you want to entertain, you want people to laugh, give them a smile. There's enough crap going on in this world.
Right.
It's really hard being in the news industry, not posting stuff about what's going on. So trying to find something every day that isn't about what's going on can be a challenge, but it's a good challenge to have.
What would you be doing if you didn't produce for the WGN Morning News very quickly?
That is a great question. You know what? I don't know what I'd be doing instead, but I know what I could be doing in my next chapter of life is I could see myself working in a winery on the West Coast, maybe Washington, maybe Portland. Is that in Washington?
No, Oregon.
Okay.
I
could see myself in the West Coast being the guy that's like, all right, you've tried our gold medal winning cab. We're on to the Pinot. You should be able to smell like an oaky... cigarette flavor. Wait, like that's not sommelier, my drinking cup. Don't put that cigarette in my wine glass, you
a really bad sommelier. Okay.
Yeah. No, to work at it. You know what? Having media experience, dealing with PR people, dealing with TV and radio, I could be some small and pop kind of winery. Hey, I can get you mom and pa on the local TV and radio. And if you want somebody to be the spokesperson for the demo, I could be that person too.
Right.
I could lead tours, you know, that's like when I'm, you know, that's hopefully 10 years, 15, you know.
Yeah.
It's no secret. I'm 54 years old. I'm at the top of the demo.
You look.
So at
32.
Some point it's going to be like, how about we do a segment about denture cream
with Gilbert Gottfried?
All right, Gilbert, it's time for the lightning round. We're going to ask you a series of rapid-fire questions. Pew, 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 pew.
We ask you a series of five questions. You have to answer them. You have to answer them honestly. First question.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
I knew that answer.
Favorite comedian?
Jerry Lewis.
If you wrote a book about your time at WGN, what would you call it?
Bloody knees and licking arms.
That's right. Is it true there's some bad commercial training video you did that's out there? Can we see it?
Bad commercial training video?
Do we show it?
What is it?
Is it the laundry? Were you doing something with like a laundry
machine?
Oh,
I used to do training videos for Whirlpool and
I think we've shown it.
Oh, I don't think
and
I've
it almost
that.
Came across ago. Like a homemade porn because I was like a young guy visiting an older lady's home and looking at her washing machine, and it wasn't written to be sounding double entendre, but certainly it sounded like
When can we expect the next Bears Superfans video? You got anything cooking?
Man, the way they're playing now, we should be doing something. Like maybe there's some anti anthem. I don't know what there's. What's there to talk about?
It's, yeah, they'll come back.
Right. Yeah,
they'll come back.
Maybe we'll become Packer fans.
Proudest moment on the air.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Most embarrassing moment.
Boy, there's been so many. just about every Monday at 8:20. Let's just say that there's been some hits and misses, but. I own, like I said earlier, I own everything. If I completely blew it, I usually fall on the sword. There may have been a misstep in booking a fake German gay heavy metal band called Pink Steel that I booked that I think of now. And I'm like, how did I not get fired then? I mean, they were not really German. They weren't really gay.
Oh,
but they were a punk rock band. And before they went live, thank God I saw the guy put socks in his pants, and I said, the socks got to come out.
Yeah.
But that's the only discretion I had at the time.
Say something nice about Ross.
Ross, and I'll say this about both of you. I love your energy. I love your creativity. I love that, I'm considerably older than you guys, and a lot of my references are like, what? I don't really understand what that means, but I'm going to laugh anyway. I appreciate the fact you guys really make everything better that you touch. I mean, voicemail, I don't think, has ever been better. And I hope Jen Lyons is listening. We need to find room for you. And I'm not bull. We need to find room. I mean, thank God they found room for me. I hope they'll find room for you because I think you're a valuable asset. And I'm not just saying that. We need people that can do what you both can do. And I can't edit.
Right.
Yeah.
But you guys have this extra skills on top of being creative and throwing it out there.
Right.
You guys have extra skills, and they're very, especially nowadays. I mean, anyway.
Thanks, Jeff.
Rapid fire is.
I love you.
I just pooped on it.
We love you. Thank you for that. His question was going to say something nice about me.
But you got it.
So you did it. So what was your favorite TV show as a kid?
Oh, Bozo Circus.
Okay. Yeah. When's the last time you took a bath?
Probably my wonder years when you're finding the hole in the shampoo bottle.
Jesus. Did you have any nicknames growing up other than Jeffro?
Hoover the Mover, because that's when I played football. The Mover.
Nice.
Tuba for a while. I was tuba. I'm not sure. I didn't play the tuba. I wasn't in marching band, but I think it was probably some kind of veiled fat reference.
Right.
Yeah.
If you could have dinner with anyone in history, living or dead, who would it be?
For some reason, Walken came up in my mind.
Sure.
Christopher Walken.
Who would play you in a movie of your life?
Movie of my life, so they're going to play me from birth to
it's the bio movie. Probably the dark years when you're eating the soup.
I don't know why Ben Stiller comes to mind.
Okay.
Well, I don't know why. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Who's the nicest guy in show business?
Another old reference, but Ernest Borgnine and Walter Cronkite, they stick out in my head because Ernest Borgnine for being here, because I went to the green room and he's like, where are you going? Don't run off. Have a seat. He was like a grandfather.
Yeah.
He was so kind. And then Walter Cronkite is when I worked for Brandmeier. And we were instructed never get into discussions with guests. Just get them to the green room.
Right.
See if there's anything they need, and then don't talk to them. Well, I couldn't leave the green room. He was like, so where are you from? Tell me about yourself. Right. And he just, and I was like, oh my God, if Brandmeier comes out of the studio and sees this, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So that was a good memory.
Great.
That concludes our lightning round.
For lightning. I tell you, there's a lot of lightning. Oh boy.
Before we wrap things up, is there anything we should have asked that we didn't ask?
The lotto numbers. Oh. Winning lotto numbers.
You know them.
3, 7, 12, 24.
We're recording. You don't have
36.
To write them.
Yep. 36.
Do you have anything you want to promote?
36s. What?
Do you have anything you want to promote? We usually don't let people
What's
promote
the
things,
ball?
But
I'm new to the Instagram.
Mm.
So I'm Jeff Hoover 59.
Mm. Is that the year you were born?
I don't know. They just gave me 59.
Interesting. You got to just think of something better.
It's not Jeff Hoover 69.
Are there 58 other Jeff Hoovers?
Probably.
Yeah.
Easy.
That
Ross.
Was Ross.
That was Ross this time.
It was in my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not let it out.
Hoover's,
I actually sat on that one like a good boy with my
final question. Do you have any questions for us?
Who's been your favorite podcast guest?
Oh, like definitely Paul Conrad.
Thanks for your honesty.
Well, Jeff, thank you for doing this. We love you.
We love you.
Thank you for
so much, man.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
He winked. So
we'll put a wink.
He's winking.
Sound in there.
That camera's done. Look at this one. There we go. All right. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
Abort. Are you still listening to this podcast?
I was voted most likely to succeed and most dramatic. Where, pray tell, do you think they got that?
You'll be swell. You'll be great. Got the whole wide world on a plate. This is here. This is now. Everything's coming up. If I were the king of the forest.
Chewbacca could be in the next Wizard of Oz.
Okay, let's make it. All right, let's get on it.
After seeing a witch.
Oh, look out. Here comes the Wicked Witch. Boop, beep, boop, boop, beep. R2, hurry along. A flying monkey's got R2-D2.
Horn solo.
Never mind how to handle a woman. There's a way, said a wise old man. A way known by every woman since the whole rigmarole began.
Brad the Robot, QRT 3000. What is Mary short for? She has little legs. LOL, LOL, AOL, LL Bean, Ron L. Hubbard, or L. Ron Hubbard, L. DeBarge, LL Cool J, L. Kabong.